experience. Take your Bible now and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. Our nation is literally in a state of crisis, and I believe the answer is because we have turned our back on the Bible. I was in Africa 2 years ago. When I went to Africa, they begged us to come and speak in the public school system. I talked with the principals, and the principal said, "We want our young people, teenagers, to know God, to know the Bible, that they can have character." In America, we say, take the Bible out of the public school system. No wonder there's such a confusion in our nation. We've turned our back on the authority of God's Word. And the first song y'all sang before the second session was tremendous. It ties in with the message this evening. I hope tonight what I preach will be a message that will encourage your life as you see the great significance of God's Word. Would y'all stand with me right now, please, for this long message we have tonight. Now, but you all ate so much tonight that I want you to let that stuff settle down a little bit anyhow before I bring the message, okay? Look at verse 16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, we're needy people. We need to hear from you, Father. I pray for the Holy Spirit to take the power of your word. You'd open hearts, that they'll come to Christ and know your salvation, that you strengthen your people, Father. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You be seated. Our text begins by stating, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration literally means God breathed. Therefore, you can rightly render this passage, all Scripture is God breathed. That means the Scriptures came from the very person of God Himself. Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of God spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. Exodus 32:16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, which means the Scriptures came from the divine mouth and divine finger of God Himself. And since that's so, congregation, it means the Bible is completely trustworthy. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 15:3, now are you clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. 1 Kings 8:56, there have not failed one word of all his good promises. John 10:35, Jesus said the Scriptures cannot be broken. Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 138:2, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Look, the great profound truth for God's people and for the world as far as that's concerned, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But why has the Lord given us His word in written form? And the Bible gives you the answer. First of all, God says He gave us His word for our spiritual growth. Our text goes on to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. With that statement for doctrine, it shows you He gave us His word for our spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Psalm 119:18 says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, child of God, every time you open your Bible, you ought to bow your head and pray and say, dear Father, give me understanding as I read your word. Why? The way that you will grow and your life will develop is by the intake of God's word within your life. However, heartbreaking truth, so many of God's people do not have a driving devotion for God's word. I read the shocking statistics that declare only 17% of Christians read the Bible on a daily basis. That same statistics goes on to say that many Christians only read the Bible once a month. We wonder often why we're so weak, why our lives vacillate, and there's no stability. And the answer is because we're neglecting the Word of God. The only way you can grow, lady, amen, the only way you'll ever grow is by the intake of God's Word in your life. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Psalm 119:97, oh how love I thy law, is my meditation of the day. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. And child of God, you can grow. You'll never mature until you realize this book has been given for your spiritual growth. But second of all, our text goes on to declare that God gave it to spiritually groom our lives. It states all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Second of all, he's given the word to groom our lives. Now, keep your finger right here. Go to Titus, the next book over, chapter 2. And look in verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look here. If you ask me how should you live, I'll tell you right to your face how you should live. You should live soberly. That means sound in your reasoning. Righteous means righteous in your living. Godly means godly in your example. Now, how does the Lord take any one of us and make us the sober, righteous, and godly individual we ought to be? One word. Teaching us that denying, and there's the key. It's always the key. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Over and over the word of God says, denial, denial, denial. Which means, child of God, you must put your life in complete submission and obedience to God's commandments, God's law, God's precepts, God's statutes, and God's ways. So whatever God condemns, you'll never condone. What God forbids, you will never endorse. And what God denies, you'll never embrace. Why? Your life is lived in complete submission and obedience to God's word. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 states, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I'll tell you what, child of God, you will struggle all of your life until you realize the only way God can make you the sober, righteous, godly individual is when you, as an individual, recognize it's by denial, submission to God's word. Third of all, our text goes on to declare that God gave us his word for our spiritual guidance. It says a latter part of this verse, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice that. This book has been given for instruction in righteousness. In other words, tonight, lady, look at me. If you're unsaved, hey, sir, if you're unsaved tonight, or teenager, if you don't know the Lord, look at me. This book right here has been given to instruct you how you can come to Jesus Christ, okay? It's given for instruction in righteousness. And you may say, well, what is God's righteousness? And the Bible gives you the answer. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Hear that? Christ is the end. Jesus Christ is the end of God's righteousness. You've got to come to him. You've got to realize that Christ is the one who died for your sins. That Jesus Christ is the one who loves you. He intently loves you. He'd love to save you. He'd love to give you the forgiveness of your sins. He'd love to give you peace and give you the hope of eternal life. He'd love to do that. And this book has been given for instruction in righteousness. Now look. In the Bible, there's a man one day. He was reading the Word of God. And as he did, another man of God named Philip said to him in Acts 8:30, understandest thou what thou readest? And the man said to him in Acts 8:31, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now, you know what I appreciate about this man? This man didn't know it all. You know what, sir? You're a wise man. If you realize you don't know it all, and lady, you're a wise lady. If you realize you don't know it all. I thank God this man, when Philip said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? His reply was, how can I, except some man should guide me? In other words, he was saying, I need help. You know, as a young man in West Virginia, I tried to read the Bible. I tried to read the whole Bible through. I gave up. I couldn't understand anything I read. I'm sure there's no doubt someone here, you've tried to read the Bible. It makes no sense to you. I could not understand the Bible. I'm telling you right now, I could not understand one thing I read until one day a man of God took the Bible, opened the Bible. I was willing. I was searching. And I would have God, if you're searching, young man. Hey, young man or young lady, if no one's ever taken the Word of God, I'm talking to you tonight. You need to have someone sit down with you. Adults, you need to have someone sit down with you. Take the Bible and instruct you how you can come to Christ. You know what? When that man of God took the Bible and showed me from the Bible, he was instructing me in righteousness. He was pointing me one direction to Jesus Christ. And I thank God that night I received Christ as my Savior. I was searching, but I came to Christ. I came to Christ because a man of God took the Bible and he showed me how I could call upon him. My friend, tonight, this book has been given. It's for spiritual guidance, for one thing, to point you to God's Son, that you could be saved and have everlasting life. And you can't get it any other way. It's only through Christ and Christ alone. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.